Another message in the form of pardons was delivered yesterday by President Obama, commuting the sentences of 8 people convicted on federal crack cocaine charges. It comes as the administration has fought to curb mandatory minimum sentences for certain low-level nonviolent drug offenders. In addition to these 8 lucky ones, 500,000 people remain behind bars across the U.S. for drug law violations at the federal and state level. Joining us now is Mark Osler, a law professor at the University of St. Thomas in Minneapolis, where he runs a law clinic on sentencing and commutations. Welcome, Professor.
Thanks for having me.
So this commuting of sentences is different than a presidential pardon. Can you explain?
It falls under the president's pardon power in the Constitution, but it does something different. And that is that pardons are usually used when someone has served their term and it restores some of their rights. With a commutation of sentence, it shortens a sentence that's currently being served. So what we saw the president do yesterday was shorten the sentences of a number of people who are doing very long terms for crack cocaine offenses.
Now, there's, you know, 500,000 people who might come under the same category of these people that the president decided to focus on. And in the Constitution, he actually has the power to commute all of their sentences, right? To enact this reform in like one fell swoop.
That is only true for federal sentences. State governors and in a few instances, legislatures have that ability in the states, but the president can only do this for federal prisoners. And so we're looking at a smaller number, but still very significant.
So does something like this send a message to judges, to prosecutors, to legislatures, to change the law, to take a look at either on the front end, the kinds of prosecutions they choose? Or are we really talking about a reform movement within the corrections system that the president has limited power to influence?
Great question, because I think that the message the president is sending here may be the most important thing about these commutations, because they all are long-term crack cases. And what he's doing is saying that he's willing to act under his executive authority under the Constitution to shorten those sentences. Now, importantly, this is something that all three branches of government has already agreed is a problem, that Congress changed the law relating to crack sentencing, made those sentences shorter, that the Supreme Court, in a series of opinions, was very critical of the old crack laws, and now the executive is weighing in very strongly.
What is the precedent for the president using his pardon powers, which, as you noted, were, you know, we were so familiar with the kind of last hour of the administration, pardons of friends and various folks, and it's all kind of random and sometimes very scandalous. But using that pardon power to actually critique the criminal justice system and to encourage actual reform.
It's something that President Kennedy did most significantly, specifically related to narcotics, that with his attorney general, his brother Robert, they did act under the pardon power in a number of narcotics cases, many of them involving marijuana laws when those laws were especially harsh. There's also an analogy to war here, because after major wars, we've seen a broad use of the pardon power after World War II, after World War I, the Korean War, and even after Vietnam. President Ford had a special commission, a presidential clemency board, that granted a large number of pardons. Maybe what we're seeing now is the same kind of thing in the wake of the war on drugs.
Well, using the Kennedy example, since Attorney General Robert Kennedy was very involved in that decision, how much is this really the hand and message of Eric Holder, the Attorney General under President Obama?
It's certainly consistent with what Attorney General Holder has been saying recently, which is that he wants to address some of the excesses of the justice system, especially relating to narcotics crimes. He's taken steps in August to try to guide the discretion of his prosecutors, and I used to be one of those prosecutors, as they make charging decisions. And certainly because these decisions came up through the attorney general, he agreed with them. And he's sending the message at the other end that we need to consider mercy and compassion at that end as well.
Mark Osler is a former federal prosecutor, now a law professor at the University of St. Thomas, where he runs the country's only law school clinic for commutations. Mark Osler, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.